Good morning, everyone. Again, I must say it's a joy and privilege for me to be here at Good Tidings. Thank you for your invite. And I, as our brother sang Amazing Grace, I remember Elder Wilson and I were talking on Thursday night about we have no concept of what eternity is all about. And so that line in that song, you know, when we've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. So even after you have sang for 10,000 years, just like you just got there the first day, that's just an amazing thought. It just boggles the mind. Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, there are three passages that we want to look at, but let's start with Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Pray that Lord would bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his dear name's sake. Amen? Amen. Shall we thus speak to the Lord in prayer? Our Father and our God, we do thank you and praise you for who you are. Indeed, you alone are God, and all the other gods of the nations are idols. And this morning, Lord, we thank you for this privilege that we have of just coming and just remembering your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we do not serve a dead God, but a risen Lord and Savior. And so this morning, we would prostrate ourselves before him, and we'll just offer up to him all the adoration and praise and thanksgiving that is due unto his name, because he's worthy, and he's the altogether lovely one. So we bless and we thank you. And as we look into your word, Lord, we, like Samuel, will say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We give you thanks. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Have you ever met a believer, a Christian, who just seemed to be, you know, growing in the things of God? Seemed like that believer has God all over them. And it seemed like they possess a walk that's beyond anything that you've ever seen or experienced. And then you probably begin to wonder, how did they get to this point? How did they accomplish that sort of a walk? I believe the answer lies in what they have discovered. It seemed like some people have learned to abide at the feet of the Lord Jesus as they go through life, and this sort of translate into the peace of heart, the power of life, and the purpose before God. In the Gospels, it mentioned a woman named Mary from Bethany. And, you know, Bethany is about 2 or 3 miles from Jerusalem. And she had a sister, Martha, and a brother, Lazarus. Mary from Bethany. Now, don't get it twisted. There are a number of Marys mentioned in Scripture, but this one is Mary of Bethany. And she's mentioned 3 times in the Gospels. Luke 10, that we just read. John 11, 28 through 44. And John 12, verses 1 through 8. And here's something that I want us to notice. Every time that we read about Mary, She's always found where? At the feet of the Lord Jesus. And her experience there is what we want to look at this morning and see what we can glean, as it were. So firstly, at the feet of Jesus, we'll find a place of stillness. Now, let's get the context of the story. See, Martha had welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ into her home. And so, preparations had to be made. In the Near Eastern culture, hospitality was paramount. And guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come alone. He came with all his disciples with him. And any respectable hostess in the ancient Near East would make sure that all the guests had their feet washed, were made comfortable, and that the meal was prepared for them. That is ancient Near Eastern hospitality. Can you just imagine the pressure that was on Martha? Nevertheless, Martha wanted to do something extra special for the Lord Jesus. Notice the word welcome, a very important word. Upodekomai, the word here, and it means to welcome, to receive into one's home or one's presence. It is to receive into one's home hospitably. You know, some people invite you to the house and it's like you don't even want to stay there because the way how they're, you know, how they are behaving. But she welcomed the Lord hospitably. The basic idea here is that Martha rolled out the red carpet for the Lord Jesus and his disciples. However, in doing so, she let herself get to the point where she was distracted, she was overworked, and she was unable to spend time with her guests because she was always in the kitchen. So in trying to serve the Lord Jesus, she did not understand the reason that the Lord was there. Mary, on the other hand, sat at the Lord Jesus' feet listening to what he had to say. Now, back in those days, to sit at the feet of a respective rabbi was a position of a disciple. Remember in Acts chapter 2, Paul says he sat at the feet of that great teacher Gamaliel. So, to sit at the feet of a great rabbi, you were a disciple. Not only that, but in ancient Jewish culture, women were not allowed to learn. Here go, Christianity elevated women. Contrary to what some people are thinking, the rabbis taught that to listen to wise men or teachers, but not to talk much to women. But the Lord Jesus Christ changed all of that. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisest of all men, welcomed Mary into his audience of learners. Here, a woman would sit as a disciple at the feet of a rabbi. And so Mary wanted to learn as much as she could while the Lord Jesus was there in her home. And she would take advantage of this opportunity to hear the Lord Jesus. So what can we learn about Mary as she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Well, at the feet of the Lord Jesus, we can feed our soul. So you see, while Martha was worried over the physical nourishment, Mary was more concerned in getting her soul fed. And that is why in the presence of the Lord Jesus, we'll find food for our souls and strength for our journey. It's no wonder. Have you ever wondered why some Christians are so wishy-washy and weak? They don't spend time in the presence of the Lord, spend time at His feet. That's why we're lacking in vitality and spirituality. We need to spend time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. See, we never take the time to stay into His presence long enough. You know, I like what Job said. Job 23 and verse 12. I have not departed from the commandment of His lips. I have treasured His word, of the words of His mouth, more than my necessary food. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we must remember that food for the soul is more important than food for the stomach. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said what? Man shall not live by bread alone. At the feet of Jesus, we can feed our soul, but at the feet of Jesus, we can focus our priorities. See, look again at the scene. Martha was worried about a lot of things. And we can tell what each of the sisters' priorities were. Martha was concerned in preparing the meal, making sure her guests were comfortable. Nothing's wrong with that. Mary, on the other hand, was more concerned with being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Capture this. Did you know that the level of your spirituality, the level of your spiritual maturity that we are able to achieve in this life is directly related to the amount of time that you're willing to spend in the presence of the Lord. Let me say that again. The level of spiritual maturity that we are able to achieve in this life is directly related to the amount of time they are willing to spend in the presence of the Lord. See, beloved, if anything else in life takes precedence over our being in the presence of the Lord, then we're in danger of having a problem in our spiritual life. Even being busy in the work of the Lord to the point where we have no time to spend with the Lord is not a good thing. You know, J. Dwight Pentecost, distinguished professor of Bible exposition at Dallas Seminary, said this: to be occupied with Christ is more important than to be occupied for Christ. Let me say that again. To be occupied with Christ is more important than to be occupied for Christ. I love that. And this is one of the problems that the church in Revelation had. In Revelation chapter 2, they got so busy that they what? Lost their first love for the Lord. And so the more time that we spend with the Lord at His feet, it is easier to make that a priority in life. See, the larger the Lord gets in our eyes, the smaller other things seem to be. Question: is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus a priority in your life? But then, at the feet of the Lord Jesus, we can feed our soul, we can focus our priorities, but we can also forget our cares. Verse 40, it says, Martha is saying, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? See that word distracted? Persispaho is the word here, and it means to be drawn in different direction at the same time. To be pulled or to be driven about mentally. Figuratively, it means to be distracted with cares and responsibility. So, while Martha was distracted with much serving, Mary was sitting calmly listening to the words of the Lord Jesus. My beloved brothers and sisters, when we come into the presence of the Lord, whether in Bible study, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in worship, The burden of life should tend to get lighter as we focus on Him. When we learn to love the Lord more than our worries, we'll be able to find a calm place in His presence. There's a chorus that we normally sing, right? It says what? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So when we focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ, other things tend to become dim. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be our priority. He needs to be our focus. But then at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can find ourselves. See, in sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, Mary found fulfillment and contentment. What she found at His feet was worth more money, more than all the money in the world. In fact, in just sitting at the Lord Jesus' feet, Mary found something that millions today live their entire life and never discover. She found acceptance and true contentment. Those two things are worth spending time in His presence. You know, it has been said that if Christians would learn to value spending of time at the Lord's feet, a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists would go out of business. See, Martha had opened her home to the Lord Jesus and did her best to be a good host. Mary, on the other hand, opened her heart and tried her best to love the Lord Jesus. See, too often we're more like Martha than Mary. And let me hasten to say, there's nothing wrong in serving. However, sometimes in our zeal to serve the Lord, we wind up ignoring Him. While Martha labored, Mary listened. Secondly, at the feet of Jesus is a place of supplication. And in that's this passage from John chapter 11. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just going to focus on verse 32 of John 11. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." Again, let's get the context. Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, had died, and the Lord Jesus Christ had come to pay His respects. When He arrived, He meets Martha and calls for Mary. Once again, we'll find Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What she finds there can help us all when we face difficult times too. See, here we see the Lord's interest in the needs of His people. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ arrived at Bethany, Martha ran out to meet Him. In their conversation, the Lord demonstrated a great concern for their interest and need. And after speaking with Martha, He apparently called for Mary. See, every one of us believers need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ cares about our needs. Hebrews 4:15, a verse that we should all know. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we should never think for a moment that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't care for us. He's extremely interested in everything that you and I are facing. Psalm 138:6 says, "Though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar." So yes, He's concerned. But then, Notice the Lord's invitation to his people. So there was the Lord's interest in the needs of his people. Now we have the Lord's invitation to his people. See, we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ calling for Mary to come to him. And she responded and she came. There she was able to place her burden upon the Lord. What does Psalm 55:22 says? Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Isn't it amazing that at times the person who seemed to be able to help us the most in the quickest way possible is the last person that we seem to turn to? Whether or not we come to the Lord in time of trouble, his invitation still stand. Matthew 11:28, he says what? Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gently and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. What a lesson for believers today. When there's time of crisis, the Lord Jesus Christ is always near. Let's run to him. Then the Lord intercession on behalf of his people. After Martha and Mary had poured out their hearts to the Lord turned to his heavenly Father and prayed on their behalf. He interceded for them. He still does the same today for you and me. John says he's our advocate at the right hand of God the Father. So when we take our burdens to the Lord, the entire Trinity gets involved in this. The Son prays for us, the Holy Spirit guides and comforts us, and the Father opens the storehouse of heaven and moves circumstances on earth so that our needs can be met. What a God. What a God. And then the Lord's intervention in the needs of his people. In verses 43 and 44 of John 11, the Lord Jesus Christ speak the word and Lazarus lived. Because he's creator, the Lord Jesus Christ overrode the laws of nature to meet the needs of his people. Yes, beloved, God will move heaven and earth to meet your needs. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs, notice not your greeds, all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So in raising Lazarus from the dead, Mary had her needs met. In seeing the Lord perform this great miracle, she understood the Lord's purpose. Remember, he tarried 2 extra days rather than coming right away when he got the message? He didn't arrive until afterwards. She understands the Lord's purpose. We need to understand that sometimes when we pray and the answer doesn't come, God has a purpose. Then she understands the Lord's power. You know what she said? Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But then the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus. Question. Are you spending time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ calling out to him about your needs? But then finally, there's a place of service. At the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place of service. Again, John 12. And let's get the context again. Mary is so overwhelmed or so overcome with her love for the Lord Jesus Christ, raising her brother, that she's willing to pay whatever price is necessary to serve him and to be a blessing to the Lord. And so we know the story in John chapter 12. With Mary anointing the Lord. At the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is where we make our sacrifice. We're told that Mary poured a box of ointment on the Lord, equivalent to 1 year's salary of the average worker. That's an amazing, expensive gift there. She was willing to give up this treasure because of her great love for the Lord. See, when we love the Lord, we don't hold stuff back. When we give less than our best to the Lord, it doesn't cost us anything. Remind me of David. 2 Samuel 24. Then the king said to Arunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offering to my God that which cost me nothing." My beloved brothers and sisters, it is not until we give our all that we are truly displaying our love for the Lord. When we shortchange the Lord with our time, our talents, our tithes, we are not displaying our love for Him. His desire is that we give our all. It's not like the guy who threw up the money in the air and said, "God, take what you want, you know, the rest belongs to me," when everything else falls to the ground. Anything less is a slight to the Lord. You know, it has been said that a lot of us as believers treat the Lord like this fellow who called up his girlfriend and said, "Darling, I love you. I'll climb the highest mountain. I'll swim the deepest stream. I'll fight the jungle of lions for you. I'll come over if it doesn't rain." That's not real love. Genuine love knows no boundaries. It is freely given and asks nothing in return. It's also a place that we give up ourselves. You know, in Bible times, it was the work of the lowest slave to wash the feet of guests. This was why Peter objected when the Lord Jesus tried to wash his feet, because he was sitting at the end. He was supposed to be the guy who washed feet. But he was convicted because he didn't do it. Mary, however, was willing to anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was also willing to be seen in public with her hair down. In Eastern culture, that's a no-no for a woman to let her hair down in front of the public. In Bible times, a woman who goes in public with her hair uncovered was a sign of an immoral woman. Mary was totally selfless in her adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ. She did not care what others think. And a lot of us let people dictate how we behave by saying, "Well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing that." Your first love and loyalty is to the Lord. Our primary focus should be on the Lord, serving and honoring Him. And so, like Mary, when we come to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, we too should not be concerned of what others think. Our only concern should be the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and having our focus on Him. He needs to fill our thoughts. He needs to fill our motives. And we need to lose all respect of self in the light of His glorious person. We should be so grateful for all the Lord has done for us that we are totally uninhibited and unashamed in the expression of our love for Him. Therefore, we should not allow pride to get in the way. We should allow our pride to die as we unashamedly worship and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, our love for Him is in direct response to His love for us. 1 John 4:9. We love Him. Why? He first loved us. It's also at the feet of Jesus that we make a statement. When Mary was criticized by Judas for her display of love and devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ stepped up to her defense. He informed those who were present to leave her alone. The Lord Jesus even awarded her a place among the most blessed of the ages. Notice his comment in Mark 14. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the world, what this woman has done will also be a memorial, be told as a memorial for her. And so for more than 2,000 years, this selfless sacrificing gesture by Mary has continued to make a bold statement about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, beloved, when we as believers take the time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we too should be making a statement. We should be telling the world that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our lives. We should be telling them that, listen, he's so important that we're not ashamed to be associated with him. Yes, beloved, when you sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will show on you. People will know when you spend time with the Lord. You can tell a believer who's not spending time with the Lord, not having devotion, not reading his Bible. You can tell. When you talk to them, there's something else that's on their mind. They're occupied with something else. You know, I'm reminded of the situation in Acts chapter 4. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, much like our Supreme Court, after Peter healed the man's leg, they didn't back down from challenging the council. The council couldn't argue with the obvious. The healed man, the lame man was healed. It aggravated them. But listen to what they said. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that these were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Amazing. So when you've been with Jesus, it will show. It will show. Question. Where do you find yourself today? Are you sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, and just loving him? Or are you busy being distracted by other things? Listen to hymn writer Philip P. Bliss. At the feet of Jesus is the place for me. There a humble learner would I chose to be. At the feet of Jesus is the place for me. There in sweetest service would I ever be. At the feet of Jesus is a place for me. I shall sing his praises through eternity. My beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord's counsel to Martha in Luke 10:42 is a good word for us today also. He said, only one thing is needed. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of our total devotion. Therefore, I challenge you, challenge myself, to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's find our place so that we can be all that the Lord wants us to be. Sola Dea Gloria. For his glory and for his praise. Amen.